Bibles, if you would turn to John chapter 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15. This place in the Gospel of John is some of the last things that the Lord is saying to his disciples prior to the garden and prior to going to the cross. And he's instructing them and encouraging them and saying a lot of things to them that they need to hear, both for that time and for the time that after that he's gone. In John 15 and verse 1, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." In verse number 1, and we'll just kind of go through this in a sort of expository way. In verse number 1, he said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." You've probably been in church long enough to just about have a lot of John 15, probably 1 through 6 or 1 through 8, just about memorized. Should know those verses very well. And they're extremely simple. They really are. In fact, they're so simple that they're actually hard to grasp at times. They're so simple. We like to complicate them. We like to make things different. But it's very simple. And in verse 1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." It begins an analogy about gardening. And it's a simple concept that Christ is the vine and the Father is the husbandman. And there's nothing else mentioned. I want to take note for a moment of all that's not mentioned. When we begin to examine ourselves spiritually and we begin to look at our own spiritual plant, we begin to look at it and we begin to examine it and to think about what quality of a plant it is and to what stature has it grown and what it is, what kind of quality it is, we may think of the circumstances that we've faced in our life. We may think of those that have instructed us. We may think of our parents. We may think of our trials. We may think of our difficulties and the picture frame gets very cluttered with a lot of things. But very simply, and it's extremely simple, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." It is just you, Jesus Christ, and the Father. It's just you, Jesus Christ, and the Father. You, we see in verse 2, are a branch. That's what you are. In verse number 1, Jesus Christ is the true vine. He is the true vintage. He is the true plant. He is that root system that you have to be attached to. He is the true vine. And the Father is the husbandman. So regarding your spiritual condition tonight, it is you, Jesus, and the Father. Now we tend to measure ourselves concerning a lot of other things. That's natural. We begin to think of our circumstances and we would say, well, if my circumstances were different, I would be a different kind of plant. It's not so. In fact, everything about Christianity, everything about it, is that we're to be a plant thriving in adverse conditions. That's everything that Christianity is in the Bible. When Paul exhorts young Timothy, he told him to be instant, in season, and out of season. In the book of Mark, I think it's chapter 11, we have a little side blip story that's interjected in the midst of some other stories. Jesus is traveling, and he stays with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and in the morning he heads into town, and he passes by a fig tree with leaves on it, and he comes to it, and there's no figs. And if you know anything about fig trees, they actually fruit before they leave. And the fact that it had leaves and no fruit meant that it was never going to have fruit. And he cursed it. And the disciples were amazed. It shriveled up right in front of them and died. And they were more amazed because they said there in the passage that it was not the time. It was not the season of figs. And yet he desired figs when it was not the season for figs. Everything about Christianity is such that we're to be fruitful in a time that is adverse. So circumstances are not even here in this equation. They're nowhere in John 15 where you find the weather conditions. Nowhere in John 15 where you find the ground or the soil conditions. They're not there. Your spiritual condition tonight is a function between you, the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the husbandman. And that's it. It is that simple. And he is the true vine. And the Father is the gardener. He is the overseer. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That's a stern warning. We don't know when that's coming. We don't know how long he's going to give us to bear fruit. We read another parable that Jesus spoke that was in another gardening sort of sense. And one of the laborers said to the husbandman concerning a tree that wasn't bearing fruit, he said, just give me more time. Let me dig around it. Let me dung it. Let me work on it. But none of us know God's time frame. None of us. And it's a stern warning. Every branch, no exceptions, every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And we don't know the time frame of that. If you want to see, in the book of Revelation gives us very good idea of how God deals with our lives. He speaks to the churches and he gives them stern warnings. And of course, the churches are made up of individuals, aren't they? And so it's applicable to us as individuals. In Revelation chapter 2, and we know how this passage goes, different churches had different problems. And they had different individuals with different problems. And different churches have different problems. And in chapter 2, verse 18, he said, unto the angel of the church of Thyatira, write, these things saith the Son of God, the true vine, that one. These things saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are as fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. This was a pretty good church, all in all. It really was. Most of the things spoken to the rest of the churches weren't that positive. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. And we can look at this in sense of a church. We can look at it individually. If we were to have a conversation tonight with the true vine, could we hear him say, I have a few things against thee? Certainly so. Certainly not a single individual would be excluded. I have a few things against thee. No doubt. And he said, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. He said, you have allowed a woman who calls herself a prophetess to teach my servants to commit fornication. this is pretty bad. I mean, this is a bad situation. And they had let it gone on too long, is what he's saying. He's saying, you've let this go on too long. But before you jump to conclusions, notice verse 21. And I, the true vine, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. The Lord gives us space. We don't know. But getting back to John 15, every branch that beareth not fruit will be taken away. We don't know when. God gives time. He's long-suffering, longer than you would ever dream. But every branch that beareth not fruit will at some point, mark it down, will be taken away. It will happen. It's a stern warning. He's warning us about what the husbandman will do. Every branch will be taken away. Notice the next thing, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Unfruitful branches are taken away. Fruitful branches are off scot-free. No. Fruitful branches will be pruned. How do you prune a tree? Well, you cut off the branches that are not helping in the sustaining of the tree and helping in sustaining fruit. You cut off branches that are more cumbersome than supportive. They're using up resources but are not likely to help in the process. And this is what he does with us. He takes away parts of our lives that are not engaged in fruit bearing. Oh, if we think about our lives, how much of it is not engaged in fruit bearing? I was lamenting my own soul this morning, praying for our pastor, praying, Lord, give him a message. I need a message. Praying about things in my heart that I'd like to change, and praying the Lord would be with our pastor, and then lo and behold, I end up being the one to preach tonight. But all the things that are in our lives completely unrelated to fruit bearing have nothing to do with the spreading of the gospel. Zero. Oh, the things. The Father is in the business of purging those things. It might be a little more painless if we could unload them ourselves prior to the pruning process. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. These disciples, as they walked with Christ, they were sanctified by his words and by his teaching, and they were in a good place. They were in a perfect fellowship with Christ. They were dwelling in fellowship with Christ, where we all ought to be. And notice what he says in verse 4, abide. Abide. He's about to leave the earth. They have had, at this point, good fellowship. They had been bearing fruit. They'd been doing the works of God. Their lives were pretty trimmed and pruned. There was nothing excessive in their lives. They were giving every day to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to them, before his departure, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Oh, and isn't that the case? Oh, without Christ. Oh, how miserable, how empty, without Christ, our lives are. How destructive our lives are. Again, as we go back to our introduction, it's just you, the branch, the husbandman, and the vine. Nothing else is involved in your fruitfulness. Do you understand that? Nothing else. You say, well, I would be more obedient in this area if... No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. And if you're not bearing fruit, well, the next part explains it. says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. This is common gardening. You whack a branch off of a tree, it can no longer sustain any life. None. Your fruit bearing is in direct relation to your obedience. Our obedience is in direct relation to the amount of contact we have with the vine. Nothing else. We like to pretend that we have all kinds of contact with the vine, but it shows in our fruit. And nothing else. There's nothing else in the equation here. You say, well, parents, or how I was raised, that none of this is in the equation here. Those may be all tools that the sovereign husbandman may use for cutting and pruning. But whatever tools he may choose to use, he is a perfect husbandman. We have to trust that. We have to understand that he is a perfect husbandman. He will not let anything be in his way of being a perfect husbandman. So non-fruit bearing can only be blamed on the connection between the branch and the vine. There's nothing else here in this equation. Nothing whatsoever. It's you, the Father, and the vine. And if fruit is not being bore, it's because there's not a connection to the vine. Well, maybe some days you have good connection. Maybe you've had some good devotional times here and there. Well, let's go back to our gardening analogy. If 2 or 3 days a week the branch was grafted into the tree or the vine, but 3 or 4 days a week it just laid out there in the dirt, it's not going to be near as fruitful as a branch that's growing intertwined with the vine every single day. In fact, more than likely, that experiment's not going to even work. It's just going to die. That branch is not going to survive by a couple of days trying to get grafted in here and there. But isn't that how we live? Oh, isn't it how we live? It really... Notice that word, abide. It's not visit the vine. It's not live near the vine, lean against the vine. It's abide. That means staying. Staying. There is no replacement in the Christian life for a solid, constant connection with the vine. There's no replacement for it. You can't lack it on Tuesday and make up for it on Wednesday. It doesn't work. It does not work. There's no making up for it. You can't just decide on Wednesday to suck up enough sap to cover the other days. It doesn't work. It absolutely does not work. Abide in me. Stay in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Unfruitful Christians, dead Christians, dried up. They're not connected. When we struggle and we get sick spiritually and we get ill spiritually, and we do, I do, we all do, there's a problem with our fellowship with Christ. There's a problem with our love to Him. There's a problem with our faith in Him. There's a problem there. That's the beginning of it. That's where it goes. Verse 5, I am the vine. Again, he reiterates it. It's so simple. Again, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing at all. without Christ. So what spirituality or fruit we may obtain at different times in our life, we owe all to Christ. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Notice, and men gather them. You know, the world is in the business of gathering up dead and dried Christians and consuming them. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Fire consumes wood. It just keeps on consuming it, you know. Just keeps burning it up. Nobody burns more wood than Kevin. I mean, he's got a mountain of it, and then it's gone by springtime. This wood just, it gets consumed. So you have to get more. Get more and get more and get more. You know, and that's the way the world is. Ever collecting dead Christians. Ever destroying them. Ever gathering those that have no fellowship. You're at risk when you don't have fellowship with the vine. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. Here's another facet to this. If ye abide in me and I in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Has your prayer life been hindered? It all goes back to that one same thing. Abiding in the vine. We like to blame it on something else. We like to say that it's something else, but truly, really truly, when we fall into sin and we fall into difficulties, there's a problem. There's a breakdown in our relationship, in our fellowship, in our faith, in our love, in our appreciation for Christ. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Notice Psalms chapter 1. There's a lot of gardening examples in the Bible and far too many to look at, but verse 1, blessed, which it's hard for us to get the sense of that word. We've been in church too long and we've just heard it, but it's kind of the opposite of cursed. Blessed, it's happy, it's fulfilled, it's graciously bestowed on, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In other words, we could sum verse number 1 up of a branch laying in the dirt. Blessed is the man that's not in there. It's not in those places, that doesn't walk in those ways. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's so simple, yet it's so far away. So many people, I've tried what the pastor said, or I've tried what the church says, or I've tried what that book says, and it doesn't work. I'm not sure I've met anybody who has truly lined up with verse number 2. Period. Such that they meditate in the law of God day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. That's his joy. That's his passion. That's very few people in our day and age. And yet they've never tried verse number 2, but they claim that something is wrong somewhere. They've never tried verse number 2, but they claim that something's wrong with the message, or something's wrong with our religion, or something's wrong somewhere, or in our raising up, or in our parents, or some other place. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree. Notice, like a tree planted by rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Didn't say he would be planted by the rivers of water, but wherever he was going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And people say, well, this isn't working. I don't understand. Verse 2 outlines how to be connected every day with the vine. At daily meditation in the Word of God. Paul told the church at Ephesus, speaking to themselves in songs and spiritual songs and hymns, making melody in their heart to the Lord, always in a state of being connected, always in a state of walking in the Spirit. The book of Galatians, I believe it's chapter 6. Chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not obey the lust of the flesh. Again, so painfully simple. It really is a knife. The Bible says the Word of God is sharp as a two-edged sword. It really is. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not obey the lust of the flesh. It's a true verse. And every time I fall, I can look back and go, man, sure enough, I was walking in the flesh that day, for sure. No question about it. Fellowship had disappeared. I was engaged in whatever it may be, engaged in my career, engaged in myself, engaged in my own feelings, whatever. I was connected to the flesh and not the Spirit. It's such a simple verse, and it is so true. Back in Psalms 1, verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The ungodly are not at all like that tree planted by the rivers of water. They're very dry, very barren. It doesn't take much to destroy them. Getting back to John 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that, or so that, or for this reason, that my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. Tell you what, if you're a child of God, there is nothing lower than having broken fellowship with Christ. There is nothing more miserable. There is nothing lower than broken fellowship with Christ. He says, I've written these things to you that your joy might remain and that it might be full. Two different measurements there. You can lose it all together, and some have. Some have lost the joy of being a child of God. Find no joy in his service. They can't witness. You can't witness if you're not excited about Christ. It won't happen. You know why we don't witness? We don't love the Lord. It's simple. It's not because the church doesn't have a witnessing program. It's because we don't love the Lord, period. There's nothing else. You will witness in relation to how excited you are about the Lord, period. And there's no sense in even trying until you are. You're wasting your time. In fact, you're probably counterproductive. These things have I written unto you that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. Both that you can keep your joy and that your joy would be full. And that's all you'll need. That's all you'll need. You won't need programs. You won't have to be entertained. You won't have to have somebody drag you to the house of God. That's all you'll need. Psalms 51, we can see in the repentance of David after his sin. That sin and the loss of joy go hand in hand. In verse number 8, he says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from thy presence." Don't let me be one of those branches cast away. "And take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Oh, what a scary thought. Verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Do you live in the joy of the salvation of God? Really, I believe very few do, and I include myself in that. If that really got a hold of us on a daily basis, we wouldn't need all the other things we pile around ourselves to make ourselves comfortable and happy. In fact, they wouldn't even appeal to us if we lived daily in the joy of the salvation of God. Those things wouldn't even, they wouldn't hold a candle. They wouldn't be exciting to us at all. So we see that a break in fellowship and sin and loss of joy go hand in hand. And Jesus is writing these things that our joy would be full. We saw two results there, really. We saw back in verse number 7 of John 15 that if we're abiding in Him, we could pray to Him, we could ask what we will, and it would be done. Our prayers would be answered. In verse number 11, our joy would be full. We would have joy, which many do not, and our joy would be full. Again, I want to stress and reiterate verses 1 and 2. "I am the vine. My Father is the husbandman." Verse 2, "You're the branch." There is nothing else in the equation. God may use other tools, however He sees fit to use those tools, but He is sovereign over every means. He's sovereign over every means, every tool, every situation has been designed by Him. Long before you ever came to it, He knew all about it, and you have been designed to flourish in season, out of season. You have been designed to flourish in affliction, in opposition. These are not reasons. These are not excuses. There is nothing else in this picture frame, in this analogy. It is you, the vine, and the Father. And we know the Father's not a bad husbandman. We know that. We know that the vine is a true vine. So wherein lies the problem? It can only be our connection with Christ. Either there never was one, or it's very intermittent, or it's very strained. It doesn't take much, you know. My kids are constantly climbing on trees and tying ropes to them and hoisting stuff in them. And it doesn't take much of a rope around a branch or a kid swinging from it to put a little kink or a little bend in it. And before long, sap stops flowing through that branch and it dies and it falls to the ground. Doesn't take much in your life just to restrict the flow. Just to pinch it off. If you've ever observed a branch, or if you've ever cut a chunk of wood, it's just a bunch of tubes. It's just a bunch of tubes. It's all it is. All it can do is carry that sap. It can't think. The branch cannot think. It simply obeys the sap. Whatever the sap does, it's got what it needs, and it flows through those tubes. And that is all that we are. It's all we'll ever be. If we're fruitful, we owe it all to the sap. If we've had a good life, if God's been gracious in our life and things have, you know, maybe we've had a lot of fellowship and things have been good, we owe it all to the sap. None of it is ours. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. We certainly can do nothing without Christ at all. And it's a simple concept, and yet we ignore him so easily. It's so simple. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not obey the lust of the flesh. It's so simple. It's so true. And yet it's so far away. So foreign, so apart from us many times in our lives. Most live, and I include myself, in very broken fellowship, intermittent times together with Christ. It'll never sustain you. Oh, you might just survive. Is that how you feel tonight? You feel like you're just surviving? Somebody asked me, I think it was Brad, before the service. How you doing? I said, surviving. You feel that way? Surviving? There's a reason. You feel like your prayers aren't answered? There's a reason. You feel like your joy is gone? Again, chapter 15, there's no weather. There's no oxen. There's no dirt. It's you, the vine, and the husbandman, and it's the same for every child of God. And he is able to use whatever means he chooses to use, and he is sovereign over those means, but rest assured, the husbandman is a perfect husbandman, and the vine is a perfect vine, and there's nothing else in the equation. Zero. It is you and Christ. Also in that statement, I am the true vine. Understand that he, as the true vine, is everything you need. He's convincing them. And he says it twice. I am the vine. Oh, we hunt up a lot of other vines, don't we? We try to be filled from a lot of other sources. We try to get joy from a lot of other sources. And he's trying to tell his people, it's only here. It is, I've written these things that your joy may be full. It is only here. Your Christian life, it will only grow and prosper from Christ. Your happiness, your joy, your fulfillment. And yet we seek fulfillment in so many other ways, in so many other places. We look to so many other things. We look for so many other remedies. We may try reading books. Books are fine. If they point you to the vine, they'll do you no other good. The best book you can find in the Christian bookstore will only do you service if it points you to the vine. That's it. You can try to find it in an exercise program. You can try to find it in healthy living. You can try to find it in many different ways. But understand that he is the true vine. Everything necessary comes from that vine. Husbands and wives, you may seek for support from one another, and that's good. You should get some support from one another. But understand that everything you need is in the vine. You could say to yourself, I could serve the Lord better if. No, you couldn't. No, you couldn't. You have no biblical basis for that at all. As a child of God, everything you need is in the vine. And you have no right, really, to expect from your spouse what you should be getting from the vine. You really have no right to do that. Now, as husbands and wives, we need to love and support one another, but it is not fair for you to require of them what you need to get from the vine. You cannot get from your pastor what you need to get from the vine. Your pastor stands to point you to the vine and pray for you that you would find the vine and lead you to the vine. But he cannot in any way connect you to the vine. Cannot do it. Not one bit. What we need, there is no other need tonight for every soul, lost and saved, there is no other need than Christ. Knowing more of him, studying, meditating, thinking more of him, there is no other greater need than these things. Again, not a program, not anything else. All that we find in this passage is the vine, the husbandman, and the branch. Where are you at tonight? Again, I've admitted to you that I feel as though I have very intermittent, at times, fellowship with the vine, and it simply doesn't work. It simply doesn't work. How we need a constant, continuous fellowship with Christ. Because the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You know, we try to be everywhere at once, as if we're omnipresent like him. We try to be all the strength that everyone needs. And we're trying to be omnipotent, and we're not. We try to know everything about everything. We try to be omniscient, and we're not. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It needs the vine. Oh, that we could rearrange our lives to have better connection with Christ. Rearrange our schedules. Husbands and wives rearrange the expectations that they have one for another to allow for more devotion and connection with Christ, fellowship with Christ. That God's people would encourage one another to greater connection in Christ. That everything that we do would cause such an outcome. Oh, how we need it, for sure. I am the vine, my Father is the husbandman, every branch. That's all there are. Those three things. You, the husbandman, and the vine. Where are you at tonight? We'll stop there and have a verse of song.